Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Swing with Scooter number 4. Cover date December 1966. Cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Joe Orlando and Mike Esposito. Edited by Jack Miller. Featuring I Was a Teenage Martian's Bride. Almost. Written by Barbara Friedlander and Jack Miller. Art by Joe Orlando and Mike Esposito. And Our Army at War number 175. Cover date January 1967. Cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Joe Kubert. Edited by Robert Kaniger. Featuring TNT Letter, written by Robert Kaniger, art by Russ Heath. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go go.
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
Can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And now is so much fun. What?
Sergeant Rock receives a Dear John letter from his fiancée, Mary Walsh. She tells him that she has met another man and got married. Rock is angry and marches off alone, where he's captured by German soldiers. He escapes and takes refuge in a nearby shack and meets an orphaned French girl, Mignon. Plus, Scooter and his pals defeat a Martian invasion with the power of their teenage shenanigans. Confused? Don't worry. I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
What a day so far.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like Eddie Cantor doing three-a-day vaudeville.
Why is that?
Well, we just recorded our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, now available on all podcast platforms. And my ass is killing me. I've never sat so long on not a sofa.
What a week we've had, huh?
Yes, we've spent some time at the theater.
Yes.
Staying out of the heat, and
it's quite a chore staying out of the heat. I'll tell you what, we went to two plays at the Contemporary American Theater Festival this week. We saw Tornado Tastes Like Aluminum Sting, which is a really cool, beautiful multi-disciplinary kind of, you know, projection and sound and lights and live theater and pre-recorded and live recording and stuff like that. Beautiful play about a family in where are they living?
Kansas,
and a tornado, and through the perspective of their autistic child. Really beautiful, provocative, deeply moving story. And then later on in the week, we saw The Happiest Man on Earth.
Yes, by Marc Saint Germain.
Yes, and it's a true story about Abraham Jacob.
Well, his literary name is Eddie Jacku. He's written a memoir about his experiences in World War II.
Yeah, true story about the Nazis and a German Jew.
Yes.
Who has to go through extraordinary adventures to live And just what he learns from the experience, it is so profoundly meaningful. It was beautiful. I was holding my breath.
Yes.
The entire, and same thing with Tornado Tastes Like Aluminum Sting. I found myself just holding my breath and not breathing, just completely immersed in the story.
I was holding my breath because my fat body doesn't fit in those 19th century theater seats.
Yeah, in the old opera house.
Come on, America, wake up.
Yeah.
People aren't tiny anymore.
Mm.
We're tall, broad, and muscly. We need bigger seats.
Yeah, so a hot day. Mowed the lawn yesterday until the lawnmower broke.
Yes.
So at some point I will move the car out of the garage and bring the lawnmower in and take it apart and put a new belt on.
We sure have had a lot of trouble with that lawnmower.
You know what? It's time for us to buy a new lawnmower.
It's time for us to buy a lawnmower, period, since we got the last one for free by accident.
Yes, but it is time for us to buy a new lawnmower, and I want a zero-turn lawnmower, which means we're going to have to spend some money on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, like my mother always said, doesn't matter how much money you spend if you don't have any.
Okay, so I will say that I'm glad we're reading this first issue today because they are at a pool, and at least I can pretend that we have a pool.
They sure look happy, all these teenagers in Scooter's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep track of who's who. I know one of them is very wealthy, and that's probably where they are because it's a big house and a big pool.
Yes, it is.
And what? A Martian spaceship? Gulp. They're at the pool, and here comes a Martian spaceship.
Yes, and that's where our story begins.
And they announce that they are Martians. Attention, we are Martians, conquerors of all Earthlings. These fellows, who were those Muppets? That's what their faces look like, but then they have on beetle wigs and caps. And I can't tell if this is their bodies or kind of a cat suit of some kind. It's yellow and orange polka dots.
I think it's their bodies. I don't know. It's weird because they're barefoot.
They're barefoot, but they're also wearing collars and ties.
Yeah, they're polka dotty, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they're yellow with orange polka dots.
One time in church, it was when our family was joining a new church, and the... We had to go up to the altar or something, and they sang, "Blessed be the ties that bind."
Yep.
But my father, under his breath, sang, "Blessed be the ties that bind my collar to my shirt." Oh, didn't we have a good laugh about that?
I bet.
Yeah, they are wearing shorts, not bathing trunks, because they have a belt.
And a holster for their guns.
Yes. I'm confused why their heads are green, but their bodies are yellow and orange. You'd think there'd be some uniformity there.
And why they look like fish mouths.
Yes.
Their mouths are open really wide.
Well, they are from Mars, so they're probably shapeshifters, like Martian
Manhunter. Like all Martians are, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, these children are frolicking and paying no attention to these Martians. That one kid wears a trench coat all the time. The blonde one?
Yes. So he's wearing his swimming trench coat?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I think that would be dangerous. It'd weigh you down. You'd drown.
No, sure.
Which would be fine, because there's too many cast members in this Scooter comic.
There are too many.
I do believe they're experimenting with story format because last issue of Scooter, by the way, we're reading Swing with Scooter, number 3, 2, 4. Look at that. The last issue was one story in the whole issue. That was too much.
It was.
I did not care for that.
This one's almost too long.
This one's almost too long, but we have two short stories and one-pager. And so they're experimenting with the format. We're reading the final story in the issue. I was a teenage Martian's bride, almost. The Martians have landed, invaded the pool party. The kids could care less.
Couldn't care less.
Well, they could or they couldn't. The Martians make their plans
clear when they use a fadeaway ray gun to destroy the lawn furniture and a table.
Well, this is after they realized that the Earthlings didn't care about them and weren't paying any attention to them whatsoever, so they consulted their Martian handbook.
Right.
And the Martian handbook says, when alien opposition ignores you, demonstrate your powers.
That's exactly what they do. They've got an anti-gravity ray gun, a fadeaway ray gun, a power ray gun. Now, these kids look to Scooter, who's their natural leader, for him to tell them what's going on. He announces that indeed they are Martians, which they've already announced. The kids weren't paying any attention.
Penny, she's the rich one.
It's Penny's house, because the butler then comes out to offer refreshments to the new guests. And she says, no, they're not guests. They're gatecrashers. Call the police. But they use the anti-gravity gun on the butler, and he floats into the air. Now, here comes Scooter to the rescue on his
scooter.
Get it? He rides along the edge of the pool, knocks the Martians into the pool.
The Martians look to be quite large.
Yeah, they're like 7 feet tall. And then, luckily, this is a pretty good scooter because we've got now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven people.
Young people, one of whom is obese, all riding on this scooter down to the police station.
Right. And none of them are wearing shoes.
No shoes, no helmets. God forbid
the whole thing topple over. They're going to get skinned up. Probably break bones.
Concussions.
You know it.
Now, this police sergeant is not having any of it. Martians, I bet they got big heads and they're colored green too, huh?
That's right.
And they bet they started to take over the whole planet, huh?
Yes, how did you know?
I know because I saw that movie too. Now, beat it, you kids.
Out!
Well, the dejected children leave the police station. They've got to do something. It's up to us, gang. And Scooter's got a happy song. Well, no, they all sing the song.
Right.
Must be a popular song. We're off to get the thingies. Go, go, go. We're off to get the thingies. Go, go, go. Because when you swing with Scooter, you're never going to swing alone.
Yeah.
No sign of the Martians yet. They must have left the pool. We still have these seven children.
On a scooter. There's no way. No scooter can take seven people.
This scooter takes seven people. What's so fearsome about that? They come upon the Martians now, turning a corner of the street. Also, they're riding the scooter on the sidewalk. That's illegal.
Yes, it is.
I bet. They run right into the Martians. The Martians are about to now teach them a lesson. They fire this ray gun at the fat kid, and he starts to disappear. Scooter tackles him. The kids gang up. They're all going to charge this Martian, and then he fires his anti-gravity ray gun. So they're helplessly floating in the air. Scooter has changed bathing suits, by the way. Unless that's another kid.
Let me see. Well, Scooter...
Oh, that must be the other
that's
kid.
That's the Vulcan kid.
Is he Vulcan?
Well, he's wearing a white hat, but then he loses his hat when he gets into the accident. Well, yeah, he's the kid that looks like a Vulcan.
Oh, yes, and he's got a little soul patch.
Oh, yes. Well, anyway, they're just using their guns on the kids.
Yeah.
They're not killing them.
No, but they're making them float in the air. So Scooter, again, sends his scooter to knock over the alien.
That poor Scooter. You know, he's piled seven people on top of the scooter. Yes. They've already been in an accident.
He's using it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Now. The kids fall to the ground now because the anti-gravity weapon, I guess, is disengaged whenever someone gets hit in the back with a scooter.
What? When someone gets hit in the back with a scooter?
The anti-gravity gun is disengaged.
Yeah. This whole episode started with me talking about how bad my back has been bothering me since I was 19 and I got in a motorcycle accident.
And point proven because there's no anti-gravity in this room.
No.
The Martians are reconvening. Complaining because the children are too dumb to be afraid. Agreed. They're dumb. Now we must destroy them. I'll start with the long-haired one. They all have long hair, by the way.
They do.
He seems to be the leader. He should have said messy-haired one, because Scooter doesn't.
He has like a mop hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scooter's sister, Cynthia, I do remember her name, she comes running up to protect her brother, and knocks her glasses off so that the alien can suddenly see how beautiful she is.
Without her glasses.
Without her glasses, because girls with glasses, as everyone knows, are not beautiful.
No, they're invisible. They're
plain and ugly, yes. Yeah. This alien immediately falls in love with Cynthia without her glasses. They are wearing the same hat. One of those little captain's hats. What do they call those?
Ugh, God, the sweat.
What do you mean?
Ugh. Running around on a hat on a full head of 1960s hairsprayed hair at a pool party. Ugh.
I've always wondered why alien monsters who do not look like humans would fall in love with human women and kidnap them away from the planet. Because that's pretty common in sci-fi.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a trope of women being vulnerable and being, you know, the monsters taking advantage of women. It's just this old stupid thing.
Well, yes, but
reinforcement of the sexist objectification of women.
But since it's science fiction,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't they just have aliens look like human beings and come and fall in love? Like,
well, they're less fearsome if they look like us.
Yeah, but even on our own planet, like, you wouldn't, you know, come upon a crocodile in a swamp and get horny for it. Like, why do these aliens? We don't even know if they're biologically compatible.
Crocodiles.
Know what I mean?
No.
Yes, you do. The alien continues to profess his love. Oh, her bathing suit does match their skin.
There's that.
So maybe he's fooled. Maybe they don't have good eyesight because they're from Mars and their eyes are giant balls of white with little tiny pupils.
They look like fish people.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And they, well, look at their legs. They have Popeye legs.
Yeah. That's clever. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Let's just get through this. Please, don't dwell on these people.
The aliens repeat that they're going to conquer Earth, but first he wants to marry Cynthia and take her back to his Martian mama. She'll adore you.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please, please marry me, please. She says, cool it. What would people say if I up and ran off with a Martian and married him?
Right. He says, I'd do anything for you. Anything in the universe.
Anything? Promise?
Mm-hmm.
Then leave the planet Earth at once.
The foolish Martian says, oh no, but I gave my promise, and I will keep it even if I will die of a broken heart.
Hmm. Shortly in the spaceship, the aliens are discussing whether they should visit Mercury because one of them heard there's some very cute chicks on that planet.
And the other one, the other replies, oh, knock it off. You've done enough harm for one century.
Meanwhile, back on Earth, it sure was lucky for us that creep had bad taste in women or we'd never get out of that jam alive. That's not a very nice thing to say to his sister.
Yeah.
And then he rides off in his scooter, and that's the end.
That's the end. He rides off barefoot, and his sister's running after him. Yeah, he rides off barefoot on a scooter.
Boo.
Boo. No helmet, no, just swim trunks. They've already been one accident.
Yes.
For God's sake.
Well, I guess we're not making our feelings about Scooter very hidden, are we?
How will the listener ever know exactly how we feel about reading Scooter comics?
And I mean, we would have read the whole thing, except the first story is endless. It's about them trying to trick their teachers into not making them do their schoolwork by having a popularity contest for the teachers. God. I guess they didn't have Rate My Professor back then.
No, they didn't, of course.
I just couldn't put Dr. Husband through that.
making him read that first story.
That's so kind of you. I really appreciate that.
Then we get a one-pager featuring Sylvester, who's the fat kid.
Who wants to have an adventure with Batman, right?
Yes, he is actually going to have an adventure with... Well, he tries to get Batman to sign him on, but Batman doesn't have any use for fat kids. He can't swing around the city when you're overweight. Take it from me.
Batman didn't say anything. He just scratched his head.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, Scooter. We do have a much more exciting story coming up. But first...
Yes?
Time Machine Mailbag, where we read letters from the past and answer them today. Time Machine Mailbag, better late than never is what Mother used to say.
Dear Dr. Husband.
Yes.
I would like to know at what age a girl should date. I am 13 and in the 8th grade. My girlfriends tell me they're going to start dating in the 9th grade. I feel I won't be old enough or mature enough to start dating, but I'm still not sure. What do you think I should do? Signed, Peggy Kelly, Damon, Texas.
Well, Peggy, I think you should start dating when you feel it's time to start dating. No one needs to rush you. You take your time. Get to know yourself. Don't let people pressure you. And just enjoy your childhood. Now, that's what an older person would say to a younger person, right?
I don't know. I'm not old. What you're insinuating.
Well, she should just do what comes naturally.
That's right.
Yes. Right?
Sure.
Don't let anyone put you under any pressure whatsoever. You do what you feel is right. And you protect yourself and be smart and strong.
Okay? Thanks, Dr. Husband.
Dear Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
Last night, I went out with a boy named Bob, whom I like very much. It was my first date with him. I am 15, and he is 17. The evening went well until after the movies, when the two other couples we were with went back to one of the other girls' house, and we went also. From then on, the boys, including Bob, began to behave improperly, and I didn't know what to do about it. I was terribly disappointed in Bob. After all, it was our first date. Please help me by telling me what I should have done. I refused a date for this weekend because of this, and I do like him. Signed, Bewildered, Elena.
Elena, I'm going to tell you what happened to a friend of mine when she was in a similar situation, except she wasn't with a group. She was just with the boy, and they were in his car, and he was acting inappropriately.
Mm-hmm. Fast hands.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
She peed.
She peed.
She peed in the car and got out, walked home.
Good for her.
He never bothered her again. So I would say, Elena, if you're going to be in a situation like this again, just pee all over this boy's house, his carpet, and make him have to explain it to his parents. Why is there pee on the carpet, Bob?
That's a good idea.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That's ingenious.
Yes.
That means you're going to have to drink up at dinner, Elena. You always want to have pee at the ready.
And make sure you keep some pin money with you in your bra.
Yes, you always have to have a quarter to make mm-hmm. a phone call to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Dr. Husband.
Yes?
My mother and I are disagreeing about something that is very important to me. Since I expect the same point of disagreement to arise in the future, I thought I'd find out how you feel about it. I am 16 years old, and I like a boy who is 17 and a half. Whenever my friends and I go somewhere and we see him, he never says hello to me first. This makes me angry. I told my mother, and she said it would be only right if I were to speak first. I would like to know if she was right. Signed, Gloria R.
It would be only right if I were to speak first, she says?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Meaning, it would be only right if she sees him. He doesn't say anything to her, but the younger girl has to say something first.
Yeah, that's what the mother thinks.
I think she needs to be seeing someone her age. I think she needs to not be going out with this boy who's a year and a half older than she is. There's a lot of things that happen in these years. And at this age, she's probably maybe a little bit more mature than he is, even, perhaps.
Oh.
Perhaps. Well, she doesn't really say why he won't talk to her.
Maybe he's shy.
Yeah, he could be shy. Why don't you ask him if he's shy? So here's the thing.
Well, then that may mean she'd have to speak first. Which is exactly what her mother wants.
Here's my advice.
Yeah.
Talk to him about it. Say, you know, when I see you, You never say hello to me, and you make me say hello first. Why is that? Are you shy? If you are, you don't need to feel shy around me. However, she doesn't say if he ignores her.
Right.
Right, because if he ignores her, she needs to move on.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't no good. Yep, you made that. Go find some other boy.
Got to be a happy medium between this fellow and people like Bob who get handsy.
Oh, my God. Don't let a boy tell you. Don't let a boy determine your worth.
Right.
Yes.
Time machine mailbag, where we read letters from the past and answer them today. Time machine mailbag, better late than never is what mother used to say.
Well, we've had the appetizer and now for the cream. Mm. It's Sergeant Rock in Our Army at War, number 175.
Our Army at War.
With Sergeant Rock. He carries a rifle and a 12-inch bayonet. Art by Russ Heath, which I think this is the first Sergeant Rock story we've seen that wasn't drawn by Joe Kubert, who did the cover.
Okay.
And I do like Russ Heath's art, but it's so jarring to me when I read this story that it wasn't Joe Kubert. It's such a cleaner kind of look.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
This is Sergeant Rock of Easy. Men go out of their heads for different reasons in combat. You can flip because you get shredded by artillery fire that pins you down, or because you see your last buddy get it. But there's another reason. Mine sprang from something I got. A TNT letter. Our story opens with Sergeant Rock breaking the fourth wall to tell us about two battles that are always going on inside of every soldier. The first is when he's in the line, and then we flash back. Well, I don't know if this is a flashback. I think it's just he's talking to himself, and then all of a sudden he's showing us what's happening. The Easy Company is pinned down in a snowy mountainside, and a big Nazi patrol coming out looking for cold meat.
Yikes, it's the Nazis.
They flatten to the ground, hoping that the Nazis will miss them.
But they don't.
But they don't. Also, these gentlemen, none of them have winter coats on.
I was thinking that, too, when I read this. They're in the snow. They have they might have undershirts on.
Sure, hopefully.
But they don't have coats on. They should have winter coats on. Neither do the Nazis.
No. My mother would advise them that it's pneumonia weather.
Uh-huh.
They ought to get something warm on.
Yep.
So they hide. They flatten to the ground. They're trying to hide from the Nazis. But the Nazis don't find them. They wait until the Nazis are upon them, and then they leap up and start punching because they don't want any gunfire to attract other Nazis.
But the guys that they're punching are not reacting.
No.
In the way that they had hoped. These guys are tough. These Nazis are tough.
Very tough. They must have trained on railroad spikes.
Yeah.
What is that dog barking at now?
Every single vehicle that's driving by.
Well, I know that I'm not on the HOA board anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I urge you to have a discussion with the other board members about limiting traffic during our recording hours.
Mm. Don't get me started on the HOA. I am so upset right now.
It's still the continuing drama we referenced a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely. And now the president's recovering, so it'll be a while before we have a meeting. And I saw the angry neighbor ride on their bicycle recently, and I was just like, reminded me of how all that drama happened a couple weeks ago, and I'm just sick of it.
It's ridiculous. How do you really feel?
Okay, let's get back to the comic, shall we?
Sure. We've got Bulldozer, we've got Ice Cream Soldier here in the snow. Little Sure Shot. Those are the only ones I can name offhand.
Okay.
They are punching and punching these super tough Nazis, which then they defeat them off panel. We don't even know how they went about defeating them.
Yeah, because the next page, they're walking away.
Yeah, they're walking fine. Away.
Yeah, we sorted that out. You know, we won that battle.
So right, but now every soldier knew about the other battle that happens in between fighting. The battle against being so lonely you feel as if you'll never feel warm again. And the only cover we've got against that is by thinking of someone special, like Mary Walsh. When all this is over and I get back, Mary and I are going on a one-way trip to the altar. It's in the cards. She hasn't said anything about it, but I know it's what we both want.
So then he flashes back to... So he's going back to the time they spent together before he shipped off, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, before I left for the front, Mary and I spent every free minute I had together.
Hold me, Rock. Hold me.
You don't have to ask me twice, Mary.
Look at the stars, Rock.
I am looking at them in your eyes.
We did the usual things people do who have to crowd a lifetime into hours.
So they went to the fair, and here they are. He's about to ship out. He said, she saw me off. Mary, I didn't have a chance to get you a ring, but will you wait?
Forever, Rock. Forever and a day.
And in the ship later on, as he's heading to North Africa, he's thinking of her.
Yep.
You're with me, Mary, all the way. And her giant head with flip hairdo is floating in the sky.
He remembers Easy Company's first battle in North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to take a beach, and they have to dive. They are under fire. They have to dive into the water to escape the fire. And there is barbed wire under the water.
Yeah.
Beach traps. And he's worried that he'll never see Mary again, but he cannot let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
He breaches the beach trap, goes up to the beach, and just starts swinging his rifle and his fists and whatever he can.
This is after he's thrown his grenade.
Oh, right.
Right.
I had a question about this.
Yeah.
They're all swimming underwater with their guns and grenades and everything. Nothing's going to work, is it?
I thought that too, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I don't. I think bullets can get wet and still be used.
Yeah, but I would think the mechanism of the gun, like the firing mechanism, would get waterlogged or something like that.
No, it would still work.
Would it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because you oil it and everything. It's not, you know, like dropping a gun in water and then pulling it out. It would still work. I just think about how long, because bullets have a shell, they have a casing, there's gunpowder inside, the hammer hits it, ignites the gunpowder, and the gunpowder explodes and propels the bullet out.
Well, that's what I was saying, because isn't the gunpowder's all inside the bullet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Revolutionary War when they had to pour the gunpowder in. That wouldn't work underwater.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I get my eras of warfare all, you know, mixed up.
Like, obviously.
Because I'm so widely read, I just can't.
Actually, it's odd that I know anything about guns and bullets.
It certainly is.
It's only because I grew up in a house with guns.
Okay.
And so we had a firing range out back, and I had my own rifle. I just had a .22.
Sure.
Rifle, which was nice. It had a nice weight to it, and I was okay with it. But my stepdad had a .45,
mm-hmm.
And revolver,
yeah.
And it had a hell of a lot of kick to it. But he would use, I know this wasn't safe, he had his own melting pot, which was made out of iron, and he'd put it on the stove, and he would melt down lead, which you get from weights. From lead, he would buy the lead, which was cheap, and then he would take the hot lead and spoon it into a mold, and then it would cool, and he would open up this crimping thing, and that would create the bullets. And then he would get the cases and fill them with gunpowder, and then use a machine, a little handheld device, to make his bullets with gunpowder. So I would help him with this. So I would see him put his bullets and gunpowder together and make his bullets, and then we'd go fire them. Now, I bought my .22s. He would make his own .45s, but I bought my .22s because I didn't fire it as often as he fired his.
Right. Gun.
He would do that a lot. We're trashy people.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Yeah.
No, everyone needs a hobby.
Well, we had a treehouse, and we raised chickens and rabbits for food, and to supplement our grocery diet because we were poor.
Yeah,
we'd also go crabbing down at the intercoastal waterway.
Sure.
To supplement our diet, and we'd go fishing too. You know, we were just resourceful. We were also poor.
Sure.
Yeah, and we fired our guns for fun.
Well, I had all those things too, except no guns.
That's true. Yes. Yeah.
Now, Rock is swinging his rifle, punching. They defeat the Nazis. Well, he single-handedly defeats the entire nest of Nazis on the beach.
He sure does.
Now, back to the front.
So,
I mean, back to the present, right? Because now we're back in the present.
Yes.
And so the mail comes, and it's a letter from Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And now Rock will know why she didn't write for so long.
Just so we can remember that battle that we just saw was in North Africa.
Yeah, and now they're
now we're in Europe.
Now I'll know why she didn't write for so long after writing me all the time in North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was sick or got a new job or gulp.
He got a Dear John letter.
Dear Rock, I met a boy. He's not like you, but I fell in love with him, and we got married. He works in a war plant. It's one of those things. You'll understand when it happens to you. Forgive me, and God bless you.
He said I couldn't stand the sight of these men reading their letters.
Well, so he's not in combat. He must have flat feet or something. Or have terrible vision.
The boy, yeah. He's probably or he could be in college. He wasn't drafted.
Right.
Yeah.
Rock has been carrying around this ring that he bought off an Arab in North Africa.
I'm sure. That was pretty interesting.
I'll never believe anything any woman ever tells me as long as I live. I sure have learned my lesson. I'll keep on carrying this ring I was going to give her just to remind me. To needle my memory.
So I joined the ranks of these poor, miserable slobs who'd gotten their Dear John letters.
Anything we can do, Rock?
Just mind your own damn business, ice cream soldier. I'm a big boy now. I don't need a mother hen.
Rock blunders into the woods in his winterreise, shall we say.
Oh, nice.
His winter's journey.
Winter's journey, yes.
It's like having a tree you always leaned against cut down suddenly, not having her there all the time to fight to come home to.
That's when he's grabbed and hugged by a Nazi.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess he's going to have something to think about.
I see your suffering. I want to help you. Come here, big American GI.
They tie him up. They put him in a Jeep, and they drive through the woods.
Yep. I need to find the page. We're on next page. It's four pages over. Okay, there we go.
So Rock pulls something out of left field.
His hands are tied together, and he uses his hands in a downward motion like fisticuff club.
Yes.
Yes.
On the driver.
On the driver.
So the Jeep crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is flung from the car. There's a farmhouse nearby.
No one's hugged, by the way.
No one's hugged. Everyone gets punched.
Yes.
With double fist action. Rock makes a beeline for this farmhouse, and just as he reaches the doorway, he is fired upon, and a bullet strikes him in the head.
Yeah, on his...
I mean, on the side of the head. He's
maybe fine. On his left ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too soon, Rock.
Too soon, okay.
He doesn't know how long he's unconscious, but he wakes up, and there's a young girl.
Yes.
Really young, which is going to get creepy in a minute.
I was wondering if you're going to mention that.
The soldiers think you are dead. They must be in France. The soldiers think you are dead, Sergeant. They go away. I will free you. Just leave it to Mignon.
What is that accent?
French.
What is that accent?
It's French. It's a juvenile French. It's a special French accent.
She sounds Cambodian.
The soldiers think you are dead. Well, I don't want to make her sexy French. So juvenile French is just like...
The soldiers think you are dead, Sergeant.
That's sexy French.
They go away. I will free you. Just leave it to Mignon.
Leave it.
Leave it to Mignon.
She looks like Mary must have looked like when she was a kid.
No, she doesn't. She's got dark hair. Mary had red hair.
And a flip.
And a flip.
She's and her eyes weren't that big.
Long. She looks like a... who's that painter?
He must... Well, he got hit right there on the temple. Van Gogh?
No. Keen. Margaret Keen with the big eye children. So... He says he's got to... Well, first he has to find out why she's there all alone. She's an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
She's walking to the village of her aunt to live with her. Now that my parents were killed. What? I'm just reading it phonetically.
I think so. Yeah. Why don't you stick with his voice and I'll do her voice.
All right. Tough luck, kid. Here's some chocolate. Sorry I have to leave you. Be seeing you, maybe. So long. Well, she just stares at him with those big eyes.
Yes.
I can't leave while you're staring at me like that. Look the other way.
Will you take me with you, Sergeant?
Have you flipped, kid? I'm a soldier. This is war. I can't take you with me. You're safer here alone. Go to your aunt like you're supposed to.
Outside, I practically fell over a listening enemy scout who gave me a wolfish grin.
Go
ahead, you do it.
I wondered who was doing all the talking, Americana. What's the matter now? Cat got your tongue, Sergeant?
I threw the fastest left jab and right cross in history because I wasn't carrying any weapons except my fist.
Pow! Negative.
Go ahead.
I'm not through sounding off yet. How's this for taps? Crack.
Requisition the ex-scout's burp gun. He took the guy's gun.
Yeah. I can't leave you here alone now. Who knows what else may buzz out of the woodwork? Come with me. Hurry.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant. You're very good to me.
But I want it understood. You'll only stay with me till I meet someone who can take good care of you, or I can take you to your aunt. What are you looking at now, kid?
You, Sergeant, you are the kind of man I would like to marry. You are very kind and also very, very brave.
Creepy, because she's clearly prepubescent. Suddenly, her eyes get as big as saucers.
How is that possible? Because her eyes are already half the size of her head anyway.
She shoves Rock into a tree.
Look out, Sergeant!
He wrenches around and sees a German plane coming right at him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how he didn't hear a plane flying in the air. Brat-a-tat-a-tat goes the plane. He makes one pass. Rock empties his gun that he stole from the Nazi, which does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around to see Mignon face down in the snow.
How is she not dead?
I don't know.
I mean, she's not. Or shivering. She has nothing covering her legs.
Right.
She's wearing a shift of a dress.
Yes, no one's wearing coats.
Yes, and there here. It's clearly snow. Thick snow.
Thick snow. And she's just got little shoes and socks and bare legs. Short sleeves.
No hair covering.
No.
It makes no sense.
No. She's going to die of exposure.
Of course.
Rock is overcome with grief. Suddenly he sees an enemy tank.
Oh, yeah. We got major.
Poking its way along the tree line. Yeah. He flips his lid. He runs toward the enemy tank.
I got a wounded kid here. She needs medical help. Look, I'm not attacking. I just want medical supplies for her. Come, I'll take you to where she is.
The Nazis think it's a trick, which of course they do. Would be a classic trick material.
Mm-hmm.
If he's trying to lure them into the woods where they're going to be ambushed. They pull him into the tank. Rock insists that all he wants is the medical kit. They don't believe him. So he just starts punching so tight in there. All I had to do was throw punches in any direction and I hit someone.
This is a pretty really good drawing here.
Yes, this is a nice page. Yeah. Why don't you believe me? Why doesn't anyone in this war believe me? Punch, crack, sock. He even punches a guy that's outside with a gun.
Knocks his helmet right off his head, right?
He finds a medical kit, runs over to Mignon, bandages her up as best he can. And she wakes up long enough to say,
"My brave sergeant, are you all right?"
Oh, me? All right, me, you're only thinking of me now.
I became aware slowly that Easy had come up and was listening quiet-like.
We were worried about you, Sarge, and started tracking you. The medic came with us. He'll take care of that little girl.
I must have been still raving because I grabbed the medic and said, you better make this kid okay. She's real gold, understand? She's braver than any soldier I ever saw. You gotta see that she's okay.
I'll do my best, Sergeant. Just give me a chance. Well, he's pretty rough on this medic. When he was himself was a medic.
Yes.
An issue ago.
Yes.
Well, the medic fixed the kid up so we could bring her back. I was worried about her until she opened up her eyes again and whispered.
Name it, kid. If there's anything you want, anything to make you forget the war, anything.
Anything? Anything, Sergeant? Will you marry Mignon?
No, because you're 10 years old and I'm a grown adult man. The yeah. End.
No, that's not what he does.
No, it isn't. He gives her the ring.
He says, sure will, Mignon. Here's a ring for you to make it proper.
Oh, Sergeant, it is beautiful.
Well, I mean, it was the 1940s and it was a foreign country. Who knows what kind of...
He doesn't really marry
No, her. He's not going to. No. This is like that creepy episode of Star Trek where William Shatner... The teenager's in love with him, and he is creepy about it. They took her away to the hospital, and Rock says, because of that kid, I'm not going to be lonely anymore. It's a crazy war. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I have turned a corner on Sergeant Rock.
Tell me more.
Well, I kind of look forward to Sergeant Rock's stories now.
Me too.
And... I always had in my head that Sergeant Rock was some kind of like, you know, like a mystical, like better than any other man, like tougher and harder and, you know, could win any battle. But I think now he's just a normal guy who just does the best he can with whatever's in front of him. If he has to use his fist, that's all he has. That's what he uses.
Yeah.
If storm the beach with his fist, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He's just a good old American boy trying to make good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to leave the world better than what he had found it.
What he had found it. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Just a normal
soldier.
I enjoy
the stories. Who's the other one that we read with who's always taking his Cupid doll through the Vietnam War?
Captain Hunter,
yeah. I like those stories, too, even though I don't like certain aspects of it.
Sure, you know, sure.
But I enjoy when those come up in the rotation.
Well, we've got another one coming up soon.
I never imagined that I would honestly tell you that I enjoy these war comics.
Same, me too.
Right? I thought they were so silly at first.
Me too.
But... when you pair him up against Scooter or...
You're never going to get me like Scooter.
No, but you pair... Or Jerry Lewis comics.
Jerry Lewis and Bob Hope.
Oh, my God. Please.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we have time for this week.
Yeah.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can find us right back here next week with another favorite.
What?
Sugar and Spike.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Sugar and Spike.
Okay.
It's
we'll make
fine.
It work.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll throw something else in, Aquaman or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can